Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Now, I appreciate smart. But you gotta know in this game, man, it ain't enough.
Right about now, I know y'all digging this, so just turn up your radio wherever you at. We about to bring it.
Let's say thanks a lot for joining me here on the Game Strong Sports Talk Show, another Monday night.
All right, everybody.
This jack of ball, man.
You want to play a game? Okay. I'll play with it.
Game Strong, we here, and we're here to go ahead, impact communities, impact lives. Guys, welcome back, everybody, to the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. It's me, your host, Big Trey.
See, that's the difference between us. You think we're fighting, and I think we're finally talking.
And if you got questions, or you just want to give me a shout out on some of love.
You want to play a game? Okay.
I can play with it. The latest and sports and highest sports people out there in your city, in your area, or local.
I'm too strong.
How's everybody doing tonight? Welcome to the season finale of the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. I'm your host, Big Trey D. I just wanted to let y'all know, for all you Heat fans, just wanted to let it be known for all you Knicks fans out there who wanted Carmelo to stay. He's coming back. He just wants to see how much he's worth. And congratulations to the Spurs for winning. You know, if one of the great assets for the Spurs winning the championship is my man, Tony Parker. And to help me talk about Tony Parker, hey, my man, Brian Podagas, all the way from South Carolina. How you doing there, Brian?
I'm all right. What about yourself?
Man, everything is all right with me. Everything is good with me. My man, you're a Knicks fan. So I'm gonna let you speak for Knicks fans right now. Voice your frustration about Carmelo opting out.
If I'm looking at it, I play basketball, so if I'm looking at it from a standpoint like he is, I'm pretty sure at this point he want to win. So he gonna go where he want to go in order to win. So. In order to feel like that's the place where he's going to win. So I can't really knock him, but hey, yeah, at the end of the day, he has to do what's best for him. But if I had the Knicks fan in me say come back, because I wouldn't want him to do nothing like some LeBron type stuff, like, you know, kind of go join somebody. Like, I'd rather him do it by himself, you know, with him being the focal piece. But it's looking like it ain't. It is not like that anymore. So I don't know. I really don't. Plus, like a lot of people don't like. I'm not gonna lie. Like, Carmelo's a ball stopper. So to join somebody else as a dual star, somebody gotta, you know, take a back seat. And I'm pretty sure Carmelo wouldn't. So that probably wouldn't rub too good.
Now, jumping back to you saying you play ball, go ahead. Why don't you tell the Game Strong world about yourself, your career?
I mean, 25. Just recently turned 25. Rough background. You know, just the typical things that go on in life. Graduated from Southside. Played ball there. Later, went to Southern Wesleyan University and played basketball. I guess, you know, during college, I was kind of, I guess what you would say, a tweener. I didn't really pan out as far as my potential, like, so to speak, at that pivotal moment or that quality time where you need to. But after that, I later played in the UBA, ABA, WBA, where we won the championship, and just recently the TRBL, and a small stint in the PBL, but it was a little situation with that. So that's basically all the leagues I've played in. I am, you know, currently pursuing, my first contract overseas, and I would say with confidence that it's going to happen. I trust in God, and, I definitely put the work in. I don't waste time talking about it. I go ahead and do what I need to do as far as becoming the player that I need to become. So that's basically about me or whatever. As far as my background, at some point I finally figured out how to channel it, you know, say it turned bad into good. So to anybody who's just in a situation that they don't really appreciate, you know, channel it for something good. Don't really sit around and let it eat at you. But, you know, I'm just speaking from a newly found equation to put into the to solve the problem, and not something I've been doing. So, but I figure if I know the formula and I see that I have positive results, why not share it? So that's basically me as far as my career. You know, I do believe. So yeah, I'll be over there soon.
Man, definitely. You said the most important thing. Trusting God that you'll definitely be able to bless you, you know, put you at the right place, at the right time, in front of the right people, where you're doing the right thing to get you over there. Definitely, I commend you. And I'm glad you're here at the Game Strong Sports Talk Show, hanging out with me.
Yeah, I most definitely will.
Now, you play the most important position on the court, which is point guard.
Yeah, and the hardest.
Now, you with the league, you know, having that hybrid point guard right now, what do you feel the downfall of most point guards that's playing today's game?
That's simple. That's scoring point guards. Like, you can sit back and look at history and see that there's not too many scoring point guards that won championships that actually did something with a team. That's just not how it works. The point guard isn't really supposed to be the focal point. He's supposed to be the focal point, but more of a floor general, not I'm just going to come down court and shoot however many times I need to in order to win, because that's like, in a sense, when you look at it from defensive, you know, when you look at it like that, from a strategy type point, that's, you're letting the defense rest. Like, you're letting four guys rest, and they can switch off, basically. Like, but the whole time, you're, you know, exerting energy, creating turnovers when you get tired, you know, the whole 9 yards. So that's, you know, if you want to break it down, you can look at it like that. So I don't believe, you know, scoring point guards don't think they really do something great in the league. Like, they might, you know, highlights and stuff like that, but I mean, he won championship after championship after championship after championship.
Now, in your honest opinion, what is the actual perfect point guard in your opinion?
You mean like as a person that's playing today, or just what I look at it as being if the perfect
you, at what you look at it as, if you were a coach or a GM and you were looking
If I'm a GM or a coach, first of all, I'm gonna want the point guard to know what I like, first of all. Like, so he, in a sense, has to be your best friend. You either have to learn how to talk to him or learn how to work with him. And in the way that you get positive results. So you have to always be in the point guard's ear, in my opinion. You can let him do his thing when you have, mismatches and different, just normal basketball IQ that you're supposed to already recognize by the time you get to that level. But he's really supposed to be, in my opinion, your best friend. Like, he knows what you want. He knows what type of matchups you want to do or what defense you want to run in this situation and stuff like that. I would probably – I'm not a coach, but, I would say that's my – honest opinion on what a coach would first look at. And honestly, then after that you add on to the, to the attributes that you like, stuff like that. But then again, you can't always add on to the attributes that you like and get set on one type of point guard, because all type of point guards can give you what you need. At some point, that's a point guard. Like, if you want to win, you're going to want a floor general. So you can get a tall one, you can get a small one. You can get a height one, you can get – long as he's – doing what you need him to do, that's my opinion. But as far as what you like and what you think good basketball is and winning basketball is, people often get stuck on what they need exactly. They don't put heart, hustle, things like that. It's like trophy wives. They see a trophy wife and it's like, yeah, I want that, but they're not looking at the one that's kind of got the intangibles.
I agree. Now every basketball player models their game after somebody. That's what you see a game or you see highlights and you say, hey, I want to work on this move. Or I want to see how this guy does that so I can pattern my game after him.
Yeah.
Who do you pattern your game after and why?
Well, first of all, Chris Paul, because I'm not on his level of passing, because he's in the NBA. Like, of course, it's gonna be better, but I'm pretty close. So, like that, and then when I'm looking at, how can I say it? Looking at different assets of the game that I need to have as tools, because if this tool is not going for me in one game, I need to have another tool that's going to still allow me to be effective. If I'm not shooting one game, I need to still be able to run the offense and play defense and break the defense down. And I need to still be able to do all of that. So Chris Paul, that's pretty much easy. I look at him for a lot of that. And then it's Damian Lillard. Like, that's quickly like him. I'm looking at that every morning, like those two. After that, I'll probably say I really narrow down who I'm gonna pattern it after, because at the end of the day, I'm gonna still put my own spin on it regardless. At the end of the day, I still wanted to be able to say, nah, Brian has that move, like, not like, oh, that's the Chris Paul. Nah, like, I'm gonna put a different variation in it, but I'm still gonna learn the actual move, just because that's just, you have to study. Like, if you really love the game, how people do stuff, like, studying is part of it. So, basketball isn't just grabbing your headphones and going and shooting for 2 hours, just kind of doing whatever. You're not working on anything. You're working on bad habits. Like, you actually are working on bad habits. So, that's what I look at. I would say I've looked at some old Isaiah Thomas recently. My man Carson from Arizona State, I like his bop and his bounce, like his change of pace, and I know I need that constant change of pace, because that's what really makes a player unstoppable. Like, at some point, because once again, like I said, it's a tool. Like, everything is a tool. You need to be able to pull it out if this is not working. Like, you got to be effective at all facets of the game. That's what I would. Those are the two people that I would emulate. I would say I watch the most But then again, I'm not going to lie, like, I change. Like, I have my favorites, but I'm still going to change. So.
Well, now here's the thing. Now, as you're in the gym and you're constantly going over the same move, right to left, left to right, things of that sort and that nature, there's a weakness. How do you, first and foremost, being a lot of players are not honest with themselves. You know, you ask a typical guy, typical player, hey, man, what's a weak part of your game? And the confident answer is, I don't have a weakness. Well, I'm all right. Well, you know, it ain't nothing major. What do you feel is a weakness in your game, and how are you improving on that?
I'm not trying to sound cocky or anything, but
no,
the weakness in my game might be confidence and pass happy. Sometimes I get into a pass happy where it's like, no, you have a miss, like shoot, like, you know, that, but that's just that instant, you know, true point guard pass first, like, see what you get, you know, see what you can get, and then if you get the ball back, then you attack. Like, you know that, and not just, no, it's right there, go ahead and go. Now, you know, once again, I'm in the gym twice a day, so all of these that I'm gonna be honest with you, because the honest players is really, I mean, why wouldn't a coach want an honest player? So, yeah, like, probably pass happy sometimes where I should just, you know, go off. I don't. But I believe in destroying all deficiencies. So trust and believe every day that weakness that I feel like I have is worked out of my system. Like, it's not a game. Like, you're not going to not see me doing what I need to do in the gym to destroy a weakness. If I have a bad shooting game, guess what? That's what I'm doing. I'm shooting right after the game. I'm shooting, like, it doesn't matter. So that is what it is. So
now, and that's good, because a lot of players are not honest with themselves of realizing and knowing the weakness in their game. You know, when you go to the gym, you're supposed to go ahead, and you just, a lot of players just focus on, you know, the strong parts of their game. You know,
no, weaknesses you do more of, like, whatever the drill is, whatever drill there that is out there that would improve the weakness, do that more. Like, if you're gonna do 4 sets or something on the strong side, do 8 sets of the weakness. Like, that's just there's rules in my eyes when it feels like, when it comes to dealing with weaknesses, like, identify it, accept it, and correct it. Like, don't waste time using, especially if it's a deficiency and it's like basketball, don't waste time and being in your emotions about why this and why that. Just go ahead and correct it. Like, because it's about getting better than anybody else, quicker than anybody else. Like, that's just what it is. I take every single moment correcting a deficiency in that gym when I have to. If I have to work on deficiencies all day long, that's just what I have to do. Hello?
Yeah. Now, Brian, hey. Now, people that are interested in your services, as far as you being a floor general and a commander of the floor, where can they reach you at, and when is your next game? Or, you know, tell people how to get in touch with you.
To get in touch with me, Just my email is pendarvis31. That's PENDARV as in Victor, IS, at yahoo.com. Feel free to email any opportunity that would allow me to follow my dream, because I do believe, you know, blessings are in opportunities, no matter what you do. So feel free to email right now if you want to.
And thank you very, very, very much for that, Brian. I'm definitely best wishes to you and your career. And I know we're going to catch you somewhere, man. We'll definitely update your progress. And I'm looking forward to seeing you play somewhere, man.
Appreciate it, man. Mad respect. I got respect for you, for real.
No problem, man. Thank you. Now, Game Show World, I got another guest, former Harlem Globetrotter and founder of the new Mixed Gender Basketball Association, Dr. John Howard.
Hello, Trey. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing there, Dr. Howard?
Good. How you doing, Trey?
I'm doing all right, man. Thanks a lot for coming on the Game Strong Sports Talk Show.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me.
First, you know, of course, former Harlem Globetrotter. How was that whole experience like?
I thought it was a tremendous experience. I was the youngest player on the team at the time. This was 1968. I played both on the national team and the international team. The Trotters usually kept multiple teams during that period of time, and I was fortunate enough to play with the greats, Metal Lark on one team as the clown, and Bobby Hunter and Curly Neal, Jackie Jackson, Herman Helicopter, Noines, and then on the other squad it was Bob Showboat Hall, who was the clown, along with Pablo Robinson, one of the great guards from New York City. He was the dribbling guard and showman, and I was the scoring guard, started with Pablo. It was a tremendous awakening for me just to be affiliated with such great talent during those days.
Now, and I know this is probably the toughest question you'll probably hear, but what was your greatest moment as a Harlem Globetrotter?
I guess the two moments. One, first of all, being selected, and number two, probably one of the opportunities of scoring consecutive points. I was a long shooter. Really, that's what I got paid for. I was the person who basically was instructed and told, when you come across half court, that's your job right there. When you bring it across half court, you can shoot from anywhere on the court. And it just so happened that I had good legs and I had good wrist, and I was able to shoot jump shots, not push shots, but jump shots from phenomenal distances on the court. And I recall an incident game in Kansas City where I had, it must have been, I don't know, 13, 14 long shots. And they normally would not call out your name or your number during the game, except Metal Lark or Curly or one of the, you know, great showmen, and they were calling my number, and I didn't miss any shot at that time going into the half, and all of my teammates were really, you know, congratulating me. And then the second half, coming back out, I would have started again, and the coach set me on the bench, and some of the players were kind of asking the coach, you know, get Howard, they call me Cincinnati kid, get Cincy back in the game. And third quarter went by, and I'm sitting on the pine and didn't see any action. So I'm getting a little PO'd at the time, you know, I wanted to play and keep on shooting. So the fourth quarter starts, and, you know, the fellas, including Metal Ark at the time, was telling the player coach was Leon Hillard. Everybody called him Cave. And he didn't say any word. He didn't say a word at all. And by the time the fourth quarter ended, I'm still on the pine, and I'm very, very upset. Matter of fact, I'm incensed. So we go into the locker room. It was one of the first times that Leon got everybody together, and he assembled us in the middle of the locker room. He said, "Now, you guys are probably wondering why I didn't put Cincy back in the game, aren't you?" And I spoke up quickly. I said, "Yeah, I want to know." And he said, "You put on a phenomenal shooting exhibition." And he said, "Why I didn't put you back in was that, what if you'd missed one shot?" I said, "What do you mean, what if I missed one shot?" He said, "You created in that audience tonight an embellished image of a player who they may never know or remember, but what they will remember is that they saw a Globetrotter hit from all over the court, long distances, and never missed a shot." He says, "We put on a show, and you put on a show." And I said, "Now I understand." So that was one of the greatest moments that I ever remember, is that situation there. And he was right. I mean, had I missed the shot, it would have just been a routine night.
Wow. Wow.
That's what I said, too. Wow.
You know, just sitting here listening to the story, you know, as a player being competitive, you were like, "Of course, put me back in." But, you know, once you see a bigger picture, you can finally sit back and understand what the coach was trying to say to you all along.
Yeah.
Now,
I didn't understand that bigger picture, you know, being a young man, until after he explained it to me. And this is some things that some of these young players and athletes out there in the field now need to understand, that sometimes things may not be going your way. There may be a larger picture beyond the individual, and it is the organization. And I understood, you know, it was really the organization and not John Howard.
Now, and you said that about players understanding the bigger picture. How do you feel basketball has changed from the time you played until the time that we're seeing the NBA as of right now?
Well, I think magnanimously it has changed. When I played in the 60s, I played during an era where there was no dunk rule. And you might not remember that, but it was called the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar rule. That's subtly this way. It wasn't written that way. But when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar came into college, I was 1 year ahead of him. I came in 64. He came in 65. When he came out of high school, out of Power Memorial, they changed the game because they figured that he would dominate college basketball. And ultimately, he did with the skyhook. And a lot of people don't understand the origin of the skyhook. It came about as a result of the NCAA banning dunking. So my freshman and sophomore year, we were able to dunk the ball, but my junior and senior year and some years beyond that, there was no dunk rule in college because of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. At the time, Al Cinder was the Al Cinder rule. I don't recall whether it was written in that manner with his name imprinted, but basically the NCAA outlawed the dunking. As a matter of fact, we couldn't dunk in the warm-ups. We had to, quote, finger roll. That's when the finger roll actually evolved as a result of the NCAA not allowing the dunk rule in the game. And then you have people like Gervin and others come in and really made the finger roll what it became. But the finger roll, in my opinion, would never have existed had the Al Cinder rule been placed on all of the players across the country because of Lou Al Cinder. He may have averaged 40 points a game had they allowed him to dunk the ball. But it didn't stop UCLA and the great teams that that he really played on during those years. So I'd say the game has changed tremendously beyond just the fact that you know dunk rule. The athletes today are much bigger. They're more physical. They play multiple positions. I played multiple positions. When I came up, I was 6'5", forward, but I also played guard. I was kind of what they called the third guard on the court at the time. They called it the swing position. Now they call it the small forward. So when the two guards got in trouble, they needed me, someone else, to bring the ball up to take the pressure off the two guards. I was called upon to do that. But I was really recruited out of high school at that time as a point guard at Ohio University, and I elected not to go to Ohio University at that time. But guys my size playing guard was unheard of. Oscar Robertson really was the only guy my size that really was a point guard, and he played also all five positions. But the game is just at a height now that it's just really hard to calculate with the athleticism and the strength and the freedom. Let's call it freedom. We were somewhat shackled by the rules and regulations of basketball, where now the shackles have been removed from basketball. There's a lot more, well, not a lot more, it's just tremendous freedom to experiment with your moves and your game and behind your back passes. I mean, they were kind of frowned on. You know, I'm a pretty old fella, but kind of frowned on. You know, you were hot-dogging it, dribbling the ball behind your back, and our hands had to be placed on top of the ball. Now the athletes can dribble the ball with their hands on the side of the ball. This is why you have the ankle breakers now, where the basketball players are allowed to cross over quickly with the ball with their hands on the side. I wish I could have done that years ago, but our hands had to be on top of the ball. So there were a lot of double dribbling in those days because players would try to put their hand on the side of the ball to make a move, and the referees blew the whistle constantly to make sure that your hand was on top of the ball. So a lot of regimentation when I played in the era prior to me, and then I would say sometime maybe 8-10 years afterwards it began to open up with the ABA bringing in the street ball element and then merging it into the NBA, and the NBA finally endorsing the street ball phenomena, which has really made the NBA what the NBA is now. It's really just a tremendous game to watch because of the ABA and some of the older leagues that had players that could free float as opposed to the rigidity that was in the NCAA college basketball. And Olympic basketball was very rigid during that period of time as well.
All right. Now, I would sit here and you talk about different leagues that change and make an impact on people's lives and careers. You yourself came up with this league called the Mixed Gender Basketball Association. How did you come up with this dynamic, and how did it all start?
Well, I've been in, I was in education for 40-some years, classroom teacher, department administrator, high school principal for 12 years, school superintendent for 10, college professor for 10. So I was always in education, and it goes back really to the State Department of Education in Michigan. I happened to be in charge of contracts and grants in vocational technical education, and one of the grants that I was in charge of was a sex equity grant. At that time in 1976, I believe, or 77, I can't recall the actual year, somewhere around there. I let out a grant to a college in Michigan to develop vocational programs to give men, young kids, boys, an opportunity to go into non-traditional careers and girls to go into non-traditional careers. So I got an understanding that the world was going to change as a result of these monies that the National Institute of Education and National Education Department was putting into technical education. So first of all, I got that understanding that things are going to change for both boys and girls, and that career opportunities for them would happen sometime in the future. It didn't happen right then, but in the future, girls would become more of them would be in doctors, more boys would be nurses, and you see that today. So that the antecedent of that dated back to basically funding this program. But the real impact occurred, I believe, around 1986 or 87, when I was a high school principal at a high school in Michigan called Buena Vista High School. And I had a star male athlete on the boys' team, and we had a star female athlete on the girls' team. And the young man, I will mention his name because you might know of him. His name was Mark Macon. Mark was a high school All-American, and he went on to play for Temple University under Don Chaney, made college All-American, and they eventually went into the NBA. Well, Mark was our first high school All-American at this school, but we had a young lady who also was very, very talented. In fact, multi-talented, because she played multiple sports, whereas Mark, if I recall, only played basketball. Well, this young lady and I approached the assistant coach to petition the high school, Michigan High School Athletic Association, to see whether we could get this young lady on the boys' varsity basketball team to play with Mark. Now, the head coach at the time never knew this, that this was going on. I had a very good relationship with the assistant coach, and the assistant coach reported back to me that the Michigan High School Athletic Association said because Title IX was in effect and they were still making all of the changes under Title IX, they just felt that that was not going to be an approach that they would support, and they appreciated me trying to do that for this young lady. I can't mention her name right now because she's working for the FBI, and I don't know what capacity, so I'd rather not reveal her name. So the antecedents would have been really the Michigan Department of Education, and then this idea with Mark and the young female phenom that we had at the same time at this high school where I was principal, was something that I felt have been, maybe it was laid latent in my mind through the years, but I had never really thought about doing that until last winter when my business partner, who became my business partner, Mr. Scott, had been working on with another friend of his, dealing with a basketball tournament, and they got stuck in terms of trying to figure out what to do with the tournament, and they contacted me, and I helped them to get some funding. And then the gentleman went on his own and developed whatever it was that he was trying to do. And I was still an English professor at this college in Florida, and I went back to this teaching. I hadn't plan on doing anything other than just helping them to get this tournament off the ground. So Mr. Scott asked me, since there was no other thing going with him relative to basketball, he asked me point blank, well, he said, you know, don't you want to do any more with basketball? I said, no, I've been through all that. But he said, well, what would you do if you had a chance to do basketball at the professional level again? And immediately, without hesitation, I said, mixed gender. And then there was this long silence on the phone on the other end. And Mr. Scott said, well, what do you mean by that? And I explained to him what mixed gender was. And he said, well, I'll get back with you in a couple of weeks. And a couple of weeks later, he called. He said he had vetted the idea that I had proposed to him about mixed gender to some friends in New Jersey where I used to live, and they liked the idea. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, go to your email, and in 5 minutes I'll show you something. And at that time, I had a, during that interim time, those 2 weeks, during when he and I had talked about mixed gender, I had went to a illustrator friend of mine and had the logo created where you see the young lady just jumping a little higher than the male basketball player, and I sent it to him, and he called me right back, and he said, oh, I really like the logo. And he said, oh, don't change. I said, no. You asked me what to do, and this is what I would do. But I would equalize the game and give women an opportunity to play at the same level as men, but realizing that the men were more athletic and the women, I believe, have more skills. Not that the men couldn't do it, but the men, they just don't practice the skill as much as the women, from what I could see. I said it would be an interesting mix to take the skill set that the women have been taught and the athleticism of the men and to put them together in a very interesting and innovative mix. And that's what MGBA is all about. And then from that point in time, I went ahead and incorporated the business with Mr. Scott as my partner. And since that period of time, we have been just developing. I've been really writing the concept, and Mr. Scott has been working on the other end of it in terms of getting venues together, working on sponsorship, working on locations where we could demonstrate the concept. And so the mix has been very good. And so at this point now we have teams that are sold, and we're going to be starting the league next year.
Wow.
I know.
First and foremost, you know, congratulations.
Thank you.
To you on that. It's very big. Definitely my other co-host, if she would have heard you say that, she would totally would have asked to sign up because she believes she can get buckets on anybody. Shout out
well,
to TK. look, you don't want to lose your job, man.
Okay.
You don't want to lose your job, man.
I got you.
I guess the question is, how are you able to pitch this idea to regular, well, I don't want to say regular people, but to players that want to advance their careers professionally?
I don't think it's been that difficult. I know going forward that was some of the concerns that Mr. Scott and others had. You know, they said, you know, Dr. Howard, how are you going to, you know, how are you going to get that out into the world? But I've been involved in basketball and sports, I got to believe, just about all of my life. And I had a sense of what the nation needed, but I had not planned this. You got to understand this. I mean, I understood what was happening in society, but I did not plan to have a mixed-gender professional basketball league. But I had my hands on the pulse of what was going on. The WNBA obviously helped with the great stars that they have produced. And then you see the three-on-three contest with one female and two males at the NBA. Did several times. The Olympics experimented on one occasion, three-on-three. So the background to this had already been in place long before even the NBA began. The background for this concept is European, and I studied that background. I like to read a lot, and I like history, and my background was English. But you go back to the Swedes and the Netherlands, and this idea of mixed gender sports, I mean, that's the real origin right there. So what I've done is taken ideas from Europe, and I've integrated those ideas into the American game, and we have now a very interesting mix. In fact, FIBA, the International Olympic Basketball Rules, they are the basic foundation guidelines that we use in our league, and we're allowed to use them. I asked permission from the Olympic Commission to do so, and they've granted me the rights to do it. So we have the Olympic rules, which we're modifying to fit the American game, and then with some very nice rules that I've created here, we've integrated that into the European piece, and it's really starting to turn out pretty well. So it hasn't been really that difficult to encourage these young folks to get involved with us. What we do want and what we're looking for are more women to get involved. I don't at this point, and I profess don't have all the connections in the women's side of it. Hence, Heather is our National Director of Basketball Operations, and I have strategically placed her there, not just because she's a female, but that's one of the reasons, I'm going to be honest with you. And secondly, she's got a wealth of knowledge in terms of basketball. And one of the things that she's going to be doing for us is to try to get that network of female talent that's out there in the field to bring them into this game so that we can have a talent pool of both men and women ready for us whenever owners want to buy teams. And we've done that. We drafted 100 and some players a couple of weeks ago. And women, I think there were 40-some women and 50-some men, so 60-some men. So it was very interesting. But it has not been difficult to attract talent.
Well, and speaking of funny, you happen to mention Heather's name, we do have National Director of MGBA, Heather Swart, on the line. Hey, how you doing, Heather?
I'm doing great, Trey. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. Director of Basketball Operations, what is a typical day like for you?
I make a lot of phone calls. I speak to athletes. I speak to athletes that currently are in our draft pool, those that have already been drafted. I speak to athletes that are seeking positions to get involved with MGBA. I speak to venues and facilities and Dr. Howard all day.
Well, I've pretty much taken that you and Dr. Howard are two busy people. Like, what makes the MGBA, like, so fun? Is, like, anything, like, funky to it? Like, is it, like, the three-point shot is pushed further back? Like, what is so exciting about the league?
Dr. Howard, do you want to answer that one?
Oh, I'll let you answer that, and then I'll fill in after you, Heather.
Okay. On courts that are marked with both the men's and women's three-point line, if a woman shoots behind the men's arc, it's a four-point shot. So that's really kind of exciting. It also brings the men to value their female teammates. You know, we find in our scrimmages that we've had with some of our teams, and especially the New Jersey game, where the men want to get that ball to these women because ultimately they want to win the ball game. And 4 points is kind of exciting to see these women put down. It's exciting for the fans. It's exciting for their teammates. It's just really exciting to watch.
In addition to that rule, we have a clutch time scramble. So at the end, we have 11-minute quarters, and at the end of each of the last 2 minutes of each of the four quarters, the losing team, because of the four-point opportunity, can interject up to five women on the court. Now, the design configuration for the game goes like this. The first quarter, three women, two men. In the second quarter, three men, two women. Third quarter, three women, two men. And fourth quarter, three men to women, and then overtime reverts back to the first quarter design. So with design, at the end of the – towards the end of each quarter, that losing team designed to take advantage of the four-point talent, that shooters that they have on the team, could interject up to five women against three men to compete, to try to catch up in the game. Obviously, it's a risk and reward type situation, because if they miss the shot, now you've got five women playing against three men and two women. So there are lots of unknowns that evolve in this new design, and that's what I like about it. The unknowns keep the fans in suspense. The game is not almost predictable towards the end because of all these little changes that we've made to the game. And those two are some of the biggest changes that we've made, the clutch time scramble and a real four-point shot where at the double arc, men's arc, the women will get 4 points. Now, there will be some gyms that will only have one or a single arc. And wherever gyms have a single arc, anytime a female hits a shot from that point, they get 4 points, and men will get 3 points. So, again, that takes into regards the type of gyms that some of these athletes will be playing in across the country. They don't all have the double arcs.
Wow, that seems very, very for a four-point shot. You know, definitely with the way basketball is played right now, with three-point shot and how that can change, impact the game and the
absolutely.
Your four-point shot
and one if the female hits the shot and is fouled. So now you've got an opportunity for a five-point play.
I was getting ready to say that. That's a funky dynamic, really.
It really is a
very funky dynamic. If anybody that's interested to want to know more about the league and try out and advance their career, where can they reach you guys at, or the location?
Heather, you want to take that?
Sure. Well, we definitely encourage everybody to visit our website. That's www.mgbainc.com. You can also find our phone numbers on there and our email addresses as well. You can call us at any time, send us an email. You can find us on Facebook. You can like us on Instagram, too. We're on Twitter. Pretty much you can find us everywhere.
YouTube. I would be remiss if I didn't mention our app. My business partner, Mr. James Scott, was involved in helping us to get an app and to get us to appreciate power of the app. Any listener can also download the app onto his or her cell phone and get instant information as we move forward. So the website and our app and all of the media connections, social media pieces that Heather just mentioned is one way that they can stay in contact. Owners who may have a proclivity to purchase a team can contact me or Mr. Scott, and our telephone numbers and emails are listed on the website.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Dr. Howard. And Ms. Swart for coming on the Game Strong Sports Talk Show and bringing the MGBA to the basketball world and to everybody. Best of blessings to you on that. And I'm definitely going to check it out because I want to see what this four-point shot is all about.
Well, you know what, Trey?
You have the opportunity to come watch us. We're going to be in New Jersey. The Jammers are going to take on the Ballers July 5th. And that's in Englewood, New Jersey at the Dwight Morrow High School.
And
okay.
Also on August 9th and 10th, we are the featured teams at Rucker Park, Harlem Week. And I would love for you to be there to participate with us to watch the game really in action. August 9th and 10th, Rucker Park in Harlem Week. But I also would like to mention, to let you know, that the league name is Center Jump Professional Basketball League. Even though we use Mixed Gender Basketball Association, Inc., think of the MGBA as the holding company, but the league play will be under Center Jump Professional Basketball, Inc., the original and first professional mixed gender basketball in the history of basketball.
I definitely like it, especially if it's going to be in New York. New York,
yes.
It's going down. You
yes.
know, already know. And thank you, you two, for coming, and we're definitely looking forward to it.
And thanks again, Trey, and God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you on either July 5th in Englewood, New Jersey, but definitely on August 9th and 10th at Rucker Park in Harlem. And thanks again. Heather, thanks again as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Trey. Thank you for having us on the show, and we really appreciate all your support.
No problem at all.
Oh, and also we have teams sold in that area too, and we can come back at another time, Trey, and give you an update on team sales, and maybe you might want to bring some of the owners on your radio show.
Oh, definitely. We're going to do that.
Okay.
We will
thank
do
you
that.
Too. Well, please.
No
do
problem.
So. Okay, and God bless you. Okay, bye-bye.
Everybody, got 4 minutes left. Season finale. I couldn't make this one of the best shows out there if it wasn't for the wonderful people of Shadow World's Radio Network, definitely. If it wasn't for them allowing me to bring this platform to y'all, hey, nobody would hear none of us. Big shout-out to my original partner in crime, Big D. You catch him on the Man Up Talk Show. Definitely he was one of my first co-hosts as the show first started. He's been doing big things. Big D, if you out there listening, I want to say thanks a lot, big bro, for helping me out, taking me under the wing, for making all of this happen. And also, I cannot forget, I know she's listening right now, TK. I said that, you know, you wouldn't be here long, and you longer than expected. But definitely, you're a partner in crime. Game Strong World loves you. We all love you. Hey, thanks a lot. And most importantly, I want to thank the listener. If it wasn't for y'all tuning in to me every Monday night, shoot, I don't know what y'all would be doing. Y'all probably be listening to some other whack radio show. But I'm glad y'all could be anywhere else in the whole wide world, but every Monday night from 8 to 9, hey, you tuning in to me. Definitely, I appreciate the love and the attention. Follow me on Twitter at GameStrong3D. Once again, follow me on Twitter, GameStrong3D. Season finale, season 2 is going to get better. Going to have more exciting guests. Doesn't matter what sport you play. If you got a voice, we got the platform. All right? So until next time, Game Strong World, I love y'all. I'm out.
We interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Shadow.
We interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Shadow. I appreciate smart. But you gotta know in this game, man, it ain't enough.
Now I know y'all digging this, so just turn up your radio wherever you at. We about to bring it.
Let's say thanks a lot for joining me here on the Game Strong Sports Talk Show, another Monday night.
All right, everybody.
This cack of ball, man.
Want to play game? Okay. I'll play with it.
Game Strong, we here, and we're